Today on Real Radio.
Christian, you and I, our greatest pursuits are to pursue the things of God. What are you pursuing? What are we longing for? Faith is able to know. It's able to receive, and because it's able to receive, now faith is truly the vehicle by which we know things. That's a wonderful thing to consider.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and we're looking at a section in chapter 2 where Apostle Paul makes a grand declaration. The natural man, one who is not born from above, will not and cannot understand the things of God. Instead, he simply relies on the conventional wisdom of the world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Worlds in Collision.
His teaching to the church at Corinth, Greece. And as you know by now, as we've been going through this study, and as you know in history, Greece and the Greeks were big on philosophy, big on thinking, big on, quote, wisdom, but they had the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of God. And so Paul has been pointing out that the wisdom of God is something completely different than the wisdom of the world. The knowledge of God is completely different than the knowledge of this world. And listen, for that matter, the very existence of a believer is something altogether different than the existence of a non-believer. In fact, the title of the message this morning is Worlds in Collision. I want you to write that down because that is more true in your life than you think. Worlds in collision. What is that all about? What could that possibly mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, follow along with me. Paul says there, now we have received, past tense, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but, note the contrast here over and over again, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Did you hear or did you get the comparative language that Paul is bringing forth to them? There is this and there is the other. There is the presence of God and there's the presence of man. There is the wisdom of God and there is the earthly, fleshly wisdom of this world. And he teaches by contrast, which is very powerful. We think about history. History has recorded for us an epic battle from the very, very beginning. The Bible tells us regarding battles, period. In fact, if you think about all battles, I'm talking about battles in your own home to battles of nations. James tells us in James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? That is, your body is demanding attention. You want to be up front. You want to be the mouth, or you want to be the center of the photograph. You want to be the one with the biggest banner or the loudest bullhorn. Paul says, or James says, that comes from the flesh. Verse 2, he says, you lust and you do not have, you murder and you covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have, watch this, because you do not ask. That's an interesting statement because Paul is saying, all the stuff that your flesh is pursuing after, you're pursuing it after in a worldly sense to obtain some sort of meaning, power, control, existence. But he ends that verse 2 by saying, listen, all the things that your members of your body are pursuing after, God will give you in a holy manner if you'll just ask him. But when you don't consult God, when you don't go after the Lord and wait on Him and pursue Him, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do everything you can to bring about what you want to do through fleshly manipulation. Don't ever underestimate a man's ability to do something that God does not want to do. And that's a dangerous thing. Do you want something so bad in your life that you're going to do it? In fact, the worldly wisdom out there says that if you just grab yourself, pull yourself up, put your boots on, and make it happen. Guess what? In this world, you can make it happen. That's a very scary thing. Having something happen in your life that you are pursuing doesn't mean it's from God. The tragic thing, when it's done in spiritual context, it destroys eventually a lot of people's lives. But whirls and collision is a very important thing. And so, as I said, history has recorded for us an epic battle. And I wrote down a couple of those battles. An epic battle was Cain and Abel. Wisdom, one of the world and one of God. What about Jacob and Esau? Epic battle. What about Joseph and his brothers? Epic battles. One of the most famous epic battles of all time was the personal battle between King Saul and really, truly King David. Epic battles. Worlds in collision. A spiritual life warring against the physical world that you and I live in. And as Christians, you and I are in both camps. We live in this world, but we're not of the world, says the Bible. And now that we've been born again, we are of a new creation in Christ. We have the Spirit of God living in us, as we'll see this morning. So church, as we look at worlds in collision, let's learn this from verse 12. Jot it down. When worlds are in collision, check this out. It happens this way. When faith hits unbelief. Will you mark that down? This is a big deal in our lives. When faith hits unbelief, something is going to happen. And the first thing that happens is this. Faith is able to receive. Mark that down. When faith hits unbelief, what's the difference? Unbelief is unable to receive. Faith is able to receive. Receive from God. Because watch this. Unbelief constantly receives from this world. Unbelief. Unbelief, without you even knowing about it, unbelief is being strengthened in its unbelief by the pulpit of the media, by the pulpit of the print, by the pulpit of the culture. If you want to be an unbeliever today, or if you want to be filled with doubt, there's a lot of food for your thought. And whatever you feed on is going to feed that thing. And if you're an unbeliever today, watch this. Look, I used to be an unbeliever. Probably you were too, huh? At some point in time when we were unbelieving in God, we surrounded ourselves, and this is why it's comical for the believer. I mean, I'm trying to be respectful right now. But for the believer now to talk to an unbeliever is all excited about surrounding their lives with comments and opinions that back up their unbelief. And you say to me, oh, but Pastor, Christian, you do the same thing. You surround yourself with stuff that leads to more and more belief. But watch this. The difference between you and me is that you are bent on putting a world around you that you can control. You control the data. You control the input. You choose to read things that will not alarm you. The Christian has come through a great life of being born, as it were, in a struggle of coming out of unbelief to belief, and it's all based upon what you receive. As a Christian, I want to receive truth. But in your unbelief, you're going to say to me, but you're pursuing it this way, or you're doing it that way, or you're doing... Listen, you can't judge me, and I can't judge you. You and I do not have that authority, but what I can tell you is this. A believer is the last person on the planet who wants to be deceived. A believer wants to know all that there is to believe. An unbeliever lives in a very narrow world and has to control that world. Why? Because it is a world that cannot receive from the outside. It has to be very carefully manipulated. Look at the press these days. It has to control the media and what you hear because it's terrified of the truth. So when he says in verse 12, now we have received, You don't have to be a Greek scholar to figure it out. It's even there in the English. It's past tense. You've already received, if you're a Christian, not the spirit of the world. You had that once before. That's now gone. You have now received the Spirit who is from God. And notice in your Bible, it's capital S. It's the Holy Spirit. Being able to receive, Paul is arguing here that to truly receive a gift, because you can't receive a gift without determining to receive it, it must be clearly understood what a gift is. And that's the world system that we've been talking about out there. It constantly offers you things. Church, listen, the world is constantly offering you things all the time. Doesn't it do that? Hey, you can have this. You can have this. You know what? I saw it this morning. If I call in right now, 1-800 blah, 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 and I order this organizer, this little organizer for my house, it's $19.95 if I act now. But wait, there's more. And have you listened that by the end, have you ever done this? I've done this one time and I vowed never to do it again. There was something I wanted. It was a World War II DVD series. And if you, the World War II DVD series, and it's $60, but wait, it's $20 if you call now. But wait, you'll get but wait, it's $5 now for 400 volumes. And it's like, what? And you call, and I got it. Oh, I got it. I got the DVDs. And I also got years of phone calls and mail and everybody wanted me to sell everything. How'd you get my number? Didn't you order something from Time Life? Yeah, 2 years ago, for crying out loud. I'll never do that again. It was a trap. Why? The world says, you want this? Do you want it? Yeah, how much is it? For you, brother, it's only $2.99 right now. If you call in now, hey, let me tell you something. They can give it to you for free. There's strings attached. The world says, oh, come on, just, you know what, I'm in a good mood, and you're my brother, you know, I tell you, for you, my friend, you can have it for free. Ain't gonna happen. The world offers cannot produce. What the world offers, it will tax you to death. It will pull you down. But what God says is, nope, what I give freely, and you pay nothing for it. And therein is with the struggle. Because unbelief says, I'm not going to receive that. Listen, if you're an unbeliever today, let's be honest. One of the reasons why you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is because you've heard what the gospel is all about, and you are insulted by that. You're insulted that he offers it to you freely. Because it implies, and it's demanded that you take it. You've got to take it and thank him for it. And a stubborn, worldly heart will say, no, I'll do it my way. The gospel is an offense to the proud because it requires the reception of a gift. Faith is able to receive. Do you have faith in God? Are you able to trust him? Then you'll be able to receive from him. When you and I do not receive from the Lord, it's because we are not trusting him. None of the things that the world offers is a gift, no matter how it's wrapped. The world gives nothing away. Everything that it offers has a string attached to it. But look, it's the work and the ministry and the life of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about. And that makes, by the way, him our greatest advocate. Did you know that, the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to mean any disrespect by this, by no means. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ came to earth and suffered as no will ever suffer or ever has suffered. And in 33 and a quarter years, he went back to heaven where he came from. And for the last 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been here since Jesus left. The Holy Spirit is here now. He's in you who believe. He's in me. And the Bible says he's everywhere. Psalm 139 says he's everywhere, the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. His work is powerful in your life. And that's what and whom Paul is talking about. God the Holy Spirit. Now mark this down. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says our life with God is a liberated life. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Listen, anybody in here struggle with the Trinity? Listen to this message this morning. The Lord is that or the Spirit. Capital S. Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's the liberating spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life liberates you. And listen, today, I'll be straight to the point. If you are envious, if you are contentious, if you are involved in sinful living, you are not liberated by the Holy Spirit. You can be a Christian and be in bondage, and you've grieved the Holy Spirit. But he's the great liberator. Isn't it interesting that the U.S. Army and Army Air Corps and Marines and everybody went into Europe 60 years ago to liberate Europe? How did that happen? The United States invaded Europe to liberate Europe from Adolf Hitler. The invasion of the spirit of America, as it were, freedom, liberated nations. Think of the Holy Spirit. He comes into a life as an invading force, and he takes over in the life of that person who says, Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior, be my Lord. And when you bow your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in, and he liberates you. That is an awesome thing. And that's why a Christian today who's living in sin is living a life like a bird with its wings clipped. Oh, he's a bird, all right, and he's in the flock. But he can't fly. Oh, you're going to heaven, but you're miserable. Listen, by faith, you need to receive again the power, the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Not only that, he's personal. John 20, 21. I've shared this with you before. I like sharing this. It's a great question over a coffee table someday is this. When was the first person born again? Don't you love that? If you have to be born again, when was the first time the believers were born again? The Bible answers that. It's personal, and it comes by the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, verse 21. And Jesus said to them, that is the 12, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And that was the first event of believers being born again. He moved inside of them to never leave. Faith is able to receive. And all of these things that God gives, they are a gift. I'm thinking right now about a gift, and you think about the dependence that you and I have on a gift. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm my own man. I made it all my way. Nobody gave me nothing. Oh, let me tell you something. Boy, I tell you, don't be so shallow, because what you have is only the tip of the iceberg. The truth of the matter is God has given you life. And by his generosity, by his gift, you're breathing right now. He can go like this and seal off your airway. He could do that if he wanted to. And I think about my granddaughter right now. I forget how old she is, but she's like 2.5 months, maybe something like that. And everything, listen, everything that she gets, if she likes it or not, because she's dumb right now. She doesn't know nothing. She doesn't understand diaper changes are good. She doesn't understand that she has to sleep. She doesn't understand that she has to eat. So what happens? The loving parents grab the baby and from the very moment take care of its life, right? And gives it everything. Let me ask you something. No one's walking up to Rebecca and Shannon, mom and dad, and saying, feed her. There's no gun to their head. Love does that. Love says, I wonder if she's hungry. I wonder if she needs a diaper change. I wonder if she, are you with me? It's all a gift, is it not? It's all a gift given. You think she's going to get a bill at the end when she's 18 years old? Mom and dad are going to unfurl a bill? Now that would be a good idea. Actually, they are going to get a bill from our government. But anyway, think about that for a moment. It's all a gift. Listen, are you a man of unbelief right now? Everything that you have that is meaningful has been gifted to you. Don't fall for the trick that what you have physically in this world is what dictates the meaning of your life. You've been tricked. Love, relationship, health, forgiveness, air, food, God gives. Amen. Amazing. He's so good. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace, the gift of God, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Nobody can walk around and say, "I saved myself. I don't need God to save me. I'll do it to myself." You're lost. Also this, when faith hits unbelief, faith is able to know. Faith is able to know. He says in verse 12, "But we might know the things." Note the definite article before things. The things of the utmost value, the ultimate things, the spiritual knowledge of the Holy One of God. That's what he's talking about. The spiritual knowledge of God. Christian, you and I, our greatest pursuits are to pursue the things of God. Are you guys awake right now?
Yes.
What are you pursuing? What are we longing for? Faith is able to know. It's able to receive, and because it's able to receive, now faith is truly the vehicle by which we know things. That's a wonderful thing to consider. And it really is involving in every aspect of our lives. Are you an evolutionist or an atheist? Did you know your life is a living contradiction? Because, for example, let's say you're an evolutionist and you grab your pickaxe and your shovel and your brush and you go dig around in the hills with hopes or faith that you're going to find something. And when you find that thing, you begin to speculate, "Oh my goodness, this has got to be an ancient human tooth. It's got to be 40 billion years old." And then you later find out that it's a pig tooth that's about 2 weeks old, and you're very disappointed. That's not knowledge. To know God, he has engineered it this way, that you come to him by faith. That's the vehicle you drive in. How do I get to know God? You drive to him in faith. And you say, "That's ridiculous." No, but everybody practices faith in something. You see, but when you get to the end of your pursuit, what do you have versus what I have? I have God on the other end. And you have a 2-week-old pig tooth. And you go search and search and search. And you're still lonely and empty inside because you know that you don't know what could be known. Our God is not some sort of an agnostic God, that he is a God that exists. He's not the God of the deist. Well, he's out there somewhere. He's the great creator, but he won't let us get near him. That's not what my Bible says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Worlds in Collision. It's a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, where the Apostle Paul continues building his case for godly wisdom and spiritual discernment. Worlds in Collision. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, if you're enjoying and really benefiting from Real Radio, would you let Pastor Jack know about it? You can visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button that says Radio Reaction. We'd love to hear from you. When you click, you'll come to the page where you can type in your message to Pastor Jack. You can also read what others have written, like this one from Northern California. "Hi, I've been blessed to be one of Pastor Jack's radio listeners in the Bay Area for a little over 6 months now. And more recently, I've been receiving his Words to the Wise email devotionals. Let me say that they've been such a blessing to me. Last December," says the writer, "I rededicated my life to Christ after walking apart from him for more than 15 years. When I read the October 1st Words to the Wise devotional about 2 Corinthians 5:17, about all things becoming new, it really touched my heart, as if it were meant for me. My story, in short: great middle-class upbringing, gave away my innocence at age 15 and made 2 suicide attempts by 16, conquered 3 depressions, and now I'm slowly crawling back to God and learning to stand firm in his promises for my life." Our listener goes on to write, "He is making me new, and that Words to the Wise devotional was just a reminder of that promise. What Jesus did for me on the cross was an act of pure love. He is making me new. And Pastor Jack, you're one of his ways he's clearing out the cobwebs in my heart. God bless you." Now again, that comes from a listener to Real Radio in the Bay Area of Northern California. Go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.